On Monday, we read from your emails. First, a correction. During our segment on Mount Everest, several listeners caught me attributing a famous quotation to the wrong mountaineer. In its edition dated March 18, 1922, the New York Times put the question, "Why did you want to climb Mount Everest?" to George Lee Mallory, a member of expeditions to Everest in 1921 and 1922. He plans to go again, the Times said, and gave as the reason for persisting in these repeated attempts to reach the top, because it's there. As usual, hundreds of listeners wrote in with their suggestions for summer reading lists. Stephanie's is a fairly recent title, Confessions of a Master Jewel Thief by Bill Mason. It kept me up until the wee hours of the morning, she wrote. Not only was I intrigued, disgusted, shocked, awed, amazed at who he robbed, but also how and why he robbed them. This one is great to take with you on the beach or on a plane. Dean and Lynn Edwards of Sunnyvale, California, suggested a book that's been out for a few years, which means it's available in paperback now. The book is Kiln People by David Brin. People throughout the world can imprint themselves onto a copier and create a 24-hour live clay energy copy of themselves called a ditto. There are all kinds of dittos for all kinds of work. At the end of the 24 hours, they automatically self-destruct into a biodegradable mass that can be recycled. The entire world is running on dittos, including all wars. My husband and I had a great read out of this long book. There are constant surprises in it. And many of you asked where you can find a list of the books mentioned on the program. Well, you can just go to www.npr.org. The list is located on the Talk of the Nation page. During that same hour, we ran a segment on minor league baseball promotions, and Eileen Portenson of Honolulu was glad we did. To me, it wasn't about baseball. It was radio that took me back to old summertime stories, the kinds of slices of life we used to hear in the days before terrorism took virtual control of our airwaves. Thank you for allowing my mind the respite and for giving my imagination the cheerful images. Finally, during our show on New York City's noise ordinance, we featured an interview with an official of the Mr. Softy Ice Cream Company about the proposal to turn down the volume on the Mr. Softy ice cream truck. Well, that prompted Paul Kaplan of Amherst, Massachusetts, to fire off an email. As I listened to your interview, he wrote, "I was reminded of the song I wrote when I lived in New York and had their jingle burned into my brain." Well, Paul Kaplan now joins us from Amherst. And Mr. Kaplan, thanks for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thanks for having me.
You were a kid when you used to hear the Mr. Softy song?
I was in my 20s.
So you weren't out there being lured by the idea of a vanilla chocolate twist. You were being annoyed.
I don't think I ever had one.
Well, we couldn't actually find the Mr. Softy jingle to play during the program last week, but since then, we've received the copy in the mail. So, Paul, remember this? Sound familiar?
It sounds very familiar.
Now, you have your own lyrics to this song, and are you ready to sing them for us?
I'll do my best.
All right. Now, a public radio exclusive, the Mr. Softy ice cream song on jingle, the Mr. Softy truck on vocals. Paul Kaplan, let's go.
This is the tune Mr. Softy plays to try and drive us crazy. This is the tune Mr. Softy plays to try and drive us crazy. Over, over, all day long. All night to the same old song. This is the tune Mr. Softy plays to try and drive us crazy. This is the tune Mr. Softy plays to try and drive us crazy. C-R-A-Z-Y-O-Y, Mr. Softy.
Paul Kaplan, thanks very much.
Oh, my pleasure.
You can email us your questions, your comments, or your lyrics. The address is TOTN at npr.org.